Good morning, everyone. The Bible reading this morning is from Acts. Acts 16, starting to read from verse 16. It may sound a long passage, this, but it's a very interesting one, so stick with it. It's one of the recounts of Paul's things that happened to Paul just after, well, like in Acts, just after Pentecost. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing out our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received their orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened the feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in this house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." Amen.
In the Bible, in Galatians 5, we hear about something called the fruits of the Spirit. Some of you will know these well. They are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. The Bible calls it being born again. A Christian is born again of the Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit for Christians should be a continuous process. If you look at Ephesians 5 verse 19, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a one-off. The Bible says we should be constantly pushing into God, asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, with his power, his presence in our lives. And the Bible tells us that God wants to grow in us, through the Holy Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when those fruits of the Holy Spirit grow in our lives, it's good. It's good for others. It's good for the world around us. Because if those things grow in our lives, like kindness and love, and we start to flow, and they start to flow out of us, and they start to spill out of us into the world around us, it's only going to be good for the world around us, isn't it? For the people around us, society around us. But the fruits of the Spirit are also good for us. Because I think the fruits of the Spirit help us to maintain our Christian walk. So if you're keen at maintaining your Christian walk, then the fruits of the Spirit are something that you're going to need to ask God to grow in you. And I just want to focus, because I'm not going to look at them all, I want to focus today on two of the fruits. I want to talk about the fruit of patience, and I want to talk about the fruit of self-control. And I want to use, in many ways, because when I was thinking about these fruits and some of the stuff around it, this is the story that I felt was really important. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in prison. Paul and Silas are on their missionary journey. In verse 12, it tells us that actually they are now in Philippi. And they get annoyed. They get annoyed by this fortune teller slave girl who keeps following them around. We all know someone like that, don't we? But she shouted at them. But what's interesting is she was shouting at them. She was shouting the truth at them. She was shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who were telling you the way to be saved." So she's following them around. She's shouting at them. But what she's shouting at them is, well, yeah, that's true. So there's something right here, but there's actually something not right as well. And I was thinking about that in today's society, about how it's hard to work out right and not right in our society. I was talking to someone again this week about these videos that are posted on YouTube, like, and they like, so someone said to me, "Look, this is a, oh, look at this video, this famous artist, look, they must be a Christian, they're singing this song." And I'm like, no, it's an AI-produced video. It's not true. It feels right, it looks right, but actually it's not right, and we have to be so careful now about what is the truth and being discerning around that in our lives. And this woman, this girl following around, she's shouting the truth, but there's something not quite right. And in the end, Paul, in the name of Jesus, casts the evil spirit out of this girl. She's not right. I love that because it reminds us, isn't it, that there's power and there's authority always in the name of Jesus. But the problem is now, those who will now lose, there will be people, it says, who will lose money now because of this. They will have used her to make money. So they're not happy. So they get Paul and Silas, they accuse them, they attack them, they're stripped, they're beaten, they're flogged severely, and eventually they're put in prison, we're told, with their feet in stocks. Paul and Silas end up in prison. Verse 25 says this: "It's midnight and Paul and Silas are praying and they're praising." It's midnight and they're in prison and they're praying and they're praising. Then we're told there's a violent earthquake, the prison's chains come loose and they're all free to escape. And when the prison guard wakes up, he sees that all the doors are open. He believes everybody must have gone because the chains have come off. And he thinks, well, I've no option. I've just got to kill myself now. I'm the prison guard in charge of this. All the prisoners must have just escaped through the earthquake. He's about to kill himself. And Paul shouts, "Stop. We are still here." And then I love what goes on from that. Prison guard just says to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And you see that through this situation, the prison guard and his whole family are saved and they're baptized. Finally, it's daylight. Paul and Silas are released, but oh, what a night. I'm thinking what Bonnie said last week. I think it was a coincidence, again, that they were there in that place. And yet this whole family are saved and baptized through this God who works through all things for the good of those who love him. It's an amazing story in many ways. But I want to go back to verse 25. And the question really for me is, how is it that in that prison cell, Paul and Silas are praying and they're praising? They've been flogged, beaten, accused, bunged in prison, dark, it's not nice, they're in chains, and yet they are praying and they are praising. I think there's probably a few reasons why that's the case. Probably because of their testimony, their story, their God's story up to that place is important to them. I think it's probably because they knew who they were, and more importantly, they knew whose they were. There was a security around them. There was an identity around them because they knew who they belonged to. And probably over the years, I wonder if you've come across people like that. That even in the most difficult of times, even in the most awkward and stressful circumstances of life, and yet somehow they're praying and they're praising. For me, when I was writing it, the first person that popped into my head was Leslie. Obviously, Leslie's no longer with us now in church. But through all that Leslie and Mike went through, as a family with Mark, and yet she would pray, and she would praise her God. I find those people amazingly challenging. But you see, I believe we can also see in Paul and Silas, when you look at this story, I believe that we can see that grown in them were the fruits of patience and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What's the definition of the fruit of patience and the fruit of Holy Spirit? Well, it's, on Google it says the patience is this. Any of various form of card games for one player, the object of which is to use up all one's cards before forming particular arrangements and sequences. You play patience? You play that? You used to play that clock patience. Didn't we used to play clock patience, didn't we, Mum? My mum did today. I like clock patience. Do you play that one? No, we're not talking about card games today. Okay, the definition of, let's go. The definition of patience is this. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. The definition of the fruit of self-control is this. The ability to regulate one's emotions, thoughts and behaviour in the face of temptations and impulses. See, I believe the fruits of patience and self-control, I believe they can help us, and this is my title today. I always title my messages. My title is, they can help us from being overwhelmed. I believe the fruit of patience and self-control growing in our lives can help us from being overwhelmed in the situations that life can sometimes bring to us. And in turn, they can help us from being led down wrong paths in our thoughts and in our actions. Because we know that in life, all kinds of stuff will come towards us. Big stuff and little stuff, but stuff that's hard and awkward and difficult. Perhaps having to deal with things when things are not going to plan. Perhaps dealing with people, perhaps someone who we don't really get along with that winds us up or we have a fallout with. Perhaps being in a situation that's just not easy to be in, like Paul and Silas were. They were in prison, being accused and beaten and everything. But I believe patience and self-control can anchor us in as God's people. And I believe that's what helped Paul and Silas in that prison cell. So very quickly, the fruit of patience. The fruit of patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. You know, generally I think we're not very good at being patient in today's want it now instant society. I think we're not a patient society generally, are we? It's hard to be patient in our society. I want it now. But you see, having the fruit of patience growing in us, I believe can help us. And I think it's a lot more than just being when we're stuck in traffic, like I was on Friday afternoon, not very patiently. But I think the fruit of patience is a lot more than just helping us when we're stuck in traffic. I believe the fruit of patience is about coming to terms with where we are, regardless of what is going on around our lives. It's about being at peace in the place we are now in, even if it's the place we don't want to be in, or the place that we should be heading towards. I believe it's about not being consumed with the worries of tomorrow. I believe the fruit of patience is about, it's not just about waiting, I suppose. It's about waiting but with faith and with hope and with love. I believe it's about knowing somewhere inside as God's children, it's going to be okay because of who we are and because of whose we are. And I wonder if when you look at that and you think about that, can you see how this can relate to Paul and Silas? Why they could pray and praise after being stripped and beaten and flogged and lay in a prison cell at midnight. The Bible also calls for patience in our interactions with other people, especially when we're dealing with difficult individuals or situations. Colossians 3 verses 12 to 13 urges Christians to clothe themselves in compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. So if you're struggling with some of these things, well, we need to ask God for the fruit of patience. Can you see how the fruit of patience growing in us might stop us from being overwhelmed by what life might send our way, and in turn might help us from being led down wrong paths in our thoughts and in our actions? I think when you look at the story of Paul and Silas in that place, when they're praying and they're praising God in that prison cell after all that had gone on with them, I think the fruit of patience had grown in their lives. But also the fruit of self-control. What's that? The ability to regulate one's emotions, thoughts, and behavior in the face of temptation and impulses. See, I think when we talk about self-control, we often talk about it, or we often focus it on as being a tool for defense in the battle against temptation and sin. And absolutely, the fruit of self-control is that. It's to help us when temptation comes our way. It's to help us to battle sin. In fact, Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, compares a person without self-control to a city without walls. We're vulnerable to attack. Of course it's about that. But I think self-control, again, is about, in some ways, much more than that. It's about having a sense of control, or at least knowing that we are surrounded by the sovereign one who is in control in the different situations and circumstances that life in life that we might face. I think it's about me and God, you know, we've got this. It's about where our confidence is rooted when this stuff is going on around us. It's about having that assurance in Christ and in our God. Self-control is not merely just a power, but it's a characteristic empowered to us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that grows that self-control in us, gives us that power, so that, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 14, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of wind and of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So you can see that's what happens a lot of the time in people, don't they? You know, they just, as other teachings come and other things come to trap them and trick them up, they just get tossed about here and tossed about there because they've not got that sense of self-control anchoring them in to whose they are and who they are in the different situations that they are facing. Someone once said, practicing self-control, believers can avoid destructive behaviors and maintain a healthy life. And I think there are four key areas. Well, I say me. I had a quick look on Google, and they said there's four areas that this is true. First is speech. Areas where self-control are important. Speech, guarding one's mouth from gossip, harsh words, and deceit. Then it says about our emotions. Self-control is important about managing anger, fear, and other strong emotions like anxiety and worry. And then there's our desires. Self-control is important, exercising restraint over physical appetites and cravings. And then fourthly, over our actions. Self-control is important, controlling impulses and making thoughtful decisions. See, I think having the gift of patience and self-control growing in us, God people, just helps us in these overwhelming situations that life can bring. It anchors us in, and it keeps us stable, and it keeps us praying, and it keeps us praising. You know, there's examples of this. There's other examples in the Bible. Some of us will know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah faced great opposition when he started to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But in that place of intense opposition, he maintained composure, and he maintained his strategic planning and action. And what he did is he just showed self-control in the face of adversity. The things that were coming against him, he remained in who he was. Some of us know the story of Joseph in the Bible, or we might have at least seen the musical. You know, Joseph was falsely accused, wasn't he, by Potiphar's wife. She said, oh, he slept with me and he'd come on to me and all that sort of stuff. And he hadn't, but he was falsely accused in that place. But what did he do? Well, if you look at the Bible, he demonstrated self-control by not succumbing to bitterness and revenge. But Paul and Silas, too, great examples. See, they could have moaned that they were in prison. They could have got angry. They could have complained, God, what am I doing in here? I'm on your mission. I'm on your work. I'm telling people about you. I'm building your kingdom. What am I doing in prison? Why have I been beaten for something I haven't really done? But because they had the fruits of patience and self-control growing in them, firstly, I believe they were able to pray and praise even at midnight in that prison cell. Wow. That's awesome. Secondly, look how God was able to use them. Because they were able to be in that position and pray and praise and hold on to their God. Because of that, a whole family of the jailer was saved and baptized. Is there anything better than that? God was able to use them in that place. We heard a little bit about this from Bonnie last week. In some of these crazy places, God is still at work wanting to use us. Even in that prison cell, as they maintained who they were and whose they were, praying and praising, and God used them mightily to bring others into the kingdom of God. Come on. And thirdly, God brought them through into the morning. And in the morning, they were released. I just wonder today if there's some people who feel maybe they're a bit like in prison. Maybe you feel a bit beaten by life. Maybe you feel a bit trapped, a bit captured. And you're thinking, wow, what do I do? Well, could we follow Paul and Silas's example? And it might be a few hours, and it might be a few days, and to be honest with you, it can even be a few years for some people. But I honestly believe there's always a morning with God. He will lead us through. I've seen it so many times in people's lives. The fruits of the Spirit are given for us to help others, to spill out into this world, to make a difference, to love and be kinder and all those things in the world around us to bring peace. But they're also about helping us. And patience and self-control are about keeping us on a faith footing, even in the bombardment of life's different situations and troubles. Patience and self-control will give us the ability, I believe, to keep calm, to be in control, to avoid mistakes, to avoid chaos, to cope with things like anger and worry and stress, and stop us from being overwhelmed with where we are. And that's why I picked this message today. Because I need more patience and self-control. Because sometimes I get overwhelmed with the situations around my life. And I don't want to be overwhelmed by the situations around my life. And even this week, so many times when I've been going around my work this week and different things, I've said those two words, patience, self-control, patience, self-control, to myself. Perhaps you need to ask God to grow more in you the fruit of patience and self-control, especially because of the situations that you're facing in your lives. And I hope in some ways, let us all take hold of the example of Paul and Silas, that even in the darkest places, we can know that God is at work. So let's keep praying. And let's keep praising. And then let's see what God can do. Amen? Amen. We'll pray. But